Okay. Now we will have our CCB legislative report from Jeff Tom.
Okay, thank you, Gene. Yes, thank you. Where my resolution sat for a second, and remind anyone, if you want to submit a resolution or bring something to us, tonight is the time to do it. This is the last meeting at which you will be able to submit an idea, and our meeting, of course, is in Coronado, or if you want to come and listen in to our proceedings, I think it is very instructive to do so, so I invite you to do that. Okay, so governmental affairs. I didn't know I'd have time to do a report, but since the World Series ended nice and quick, I was able to do something for you. So.
No, you're not sorry.
I really want to say it has been a pleasure this year to work on behalf of this organization. I really enjoyed the input from the Governmental Affairs Committee. Donna and I really work hard on these issues. We're always talking to one another and trying to come up with the best approach to work on all of our behalfs. And it has been, I think, a hard year, but a good year. And it would not have happened had it not been for what you all do. And I'm going to point to a few specifics as I go along in that area. First, let's go to our own bill. We did get a bill passed this year. Proud to say, proud of you. AB 2041 by Assemblymember Swanson was as it's known in the legislative speak, a cleanup bill to a bill that passed last year of ours, AB 410, which dealt with requiring certain state agencies, we wish it had been all of them, but we got half a loaf, certain state agencies to make their proposed regulations in formats readable by screen reading software upon a request. So, getting a bill passed this governor is not easy, and, you know, we did get it, so you got to count your blessings. So that was really I thank everyone who made any phone calls over the past several years. It dated back to an idea that Gene Lozano first brought to this group a number of years, three, 4 years ago now. And we managed to finally get done with it, although there's still some time in the future, you know, the notion that we want to expand it to cover all state agencies. So sometime, maybe we'll get there. Okay, let's now look at the big elephant in the room, so to speak, every year in the state, and that is the budget, because that's where either directly or indirectly most of the major decisions get made. And I could talk for an hour on the budget, but you wouldn't want to hear it.
No.
But I will talk about a few areas that closely and greatly impact those of us who are blind or vision impaired. And the first is library services. And I've mentioned this before, and I don't have too much new to add in terms of progress, but the problem is that the money there is state money that is used for other library programs, not ours, and that money is currently used to match some federal money that is used for our library services. And if we're okay through this year, this fiscal year, but the next year, if we don't get any matching money, or if there isn't a what is called a federal waiver that is granted, then we risk losing our federal allocation, and that would really cripple library services. However, we have had a lot of excellent traction with legislative leaders. We also communicated with the director of finance, who's really the governor's right hand when it comes to making decisions affecting money. And so she has been made aware of this issue and has expressed her concern that it be handled. We have heard from other sources that it is the full intent that that waiver will be obtained. And so one way or another, although the issue has not been put to bed this year as we hoped it might, there is every reason to think there is a good chance that it will not be a problem. However, if you think for 1 minute that we're going to just sit around and let the bureaucracy, you know, automatically solve this problem, then you better have another thing coming, because we have to monitor it very closely. As soon as the legislature is back in session and in their new session, and make sure that things are happening and that this waiver, if necessary, or the money, whichever route it takes, is received. So we may be calling upon you again to testify, as we've done, and there have been members of this organization that have done it a couple of years now in a row, and who knows, we may need you again. Okay, Disabled Student Services funding. We managed to, and again, we had a lot of people, but a number of you were in this group as well, who wrote letters and testified directly on issues of avoiding cuts to Disabled Student Services funding at the community college level. And of course, there's also a risk, although it didn't come up this year, for funding being cut for the state university system as well. A lot of this will depend on what happens to Prop 30, because although for this fiscal year they have budgeted in the cuts they're going to make, there is no question that if Prop 30 does not pass, and at this point in time the polls are looking a little bit into the negative, if it does not pass, there is going to be a look at everything will be on the chopping block. And because of the already severe cuts in areas such as health and social services, which in many cases have been cut as low as they can without causing federal problems, there's really only a few areas to go. And the biggest elephant in the room in this case is education, whether it's K through 12 or whether it's community college and state universities and UC, the whole all of your college systems. So we'll see what happens, but if Prop 30 does not pass, you can bet that next year is going to be very dismal in this area. Okay, next budget issue I want to talk to you about is the California School for the Blind. I want to go back a couple of years. Last year, for the 2011 budget, both schools, the School for the Blind and the School for the Deaf, took a pretty big cut, and so in light of that cut, the School for the Blind ended its week-long short courses for mainstream students. And this year it looked like there would have to be more cuts. And also I should add, there were certain positions that they could not fill because they, didn't have the money to fill them. And it's very possible they'll lose those positions forever. This year it looked like there would be some further cuts. And there was a really strong effort, and many CCB members were involved in it, and I bring you a thank you from Stuart Widenstein, who is really appreciative of the efforts that this organization undertook to help lead the effort against cutting money for the California School for the Blind. As it turned out, we got a temporary victory. The legislature did hear the concerns that further cuts to the schools would have, and They did find some federal money somewhere. It seems that the state can often find money somewhere. You keep hearing these reports, oh, there's $50 million here and $50 million. unfortunately, they never used to find it when I was employed by the state, as all you rehab counselors would know. They never find it for salaries, but they seem to find money somewhere. Yes, the parks, they find a lot of money there. But anyway, they found federal money, and so they did not have to make a cut. But that federal money is one-time money. And so, again, you can bet your bottom dollar, especially if Prop 30 is defeated, that anything may happen next year. And remember that the California School for the Blind is in some ways in a worse position than the public schools in that they are going to need to possibly cut state employees, and one place where they're going to look is cutting across the board in the Department of Education. So, and that's where the CSB employees are. So, it could be very severe this year. We'll soon see. It was interesting to note, Stuart Wittenstein, the superintendent, told me that they actually, even though they have had, you know, some position reductions, they actually have a slight increase in their population, because things have gotten so bad in the districts that the districts are actually finding it better and preferable to send their kids to the School for the Blind. And that is something that in years past we would never have thought to see, because they usually wanted to keep the money in the district. So that's kind of interesting. Well, I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's interesting. Okay, let's move on to what is called the Coordinated Care Initiative, or the Duals Demonstration Project for Medicare and Medicaid. There's a lot of names that it goes under. I've talked about this before. I won't spend too much time on it, but essentially what's going to be happening, or at least what's slated to happen potentially over the next few years, is that ultimately, all individuals who are both Medi-Cal and Medicare eligible will be put into managed care. Just as already in most of the state, just those Medi-Cal recipients with disabilities who are not on Medicare as well have already been placed into managed care. I'll only go so far as to say that it was supposed to happen by somewhere between March and June, that it would be inaugurated in 8 counties, San Diego, Orange, Riverside, San Bernardino, Santa Clara, Alameda. I'm getting to Los Angeles. There again, we got another big elephant in the room. Los Angeles, because the vast majority, obviously, of the population that would be affected is Los Angeles. And that is why the federal government, I suspect one of the big reasons that the federal government has still not given the state its final permission yet. So no one knows yet whether part of Los Angeles will be put into this project, all of it, whether it will all be excluded. We don't know when it's going to actually start, because the later things go on without starting, it's impossible to say. There are conditions in the legislation that if they don't happen, the project isn't supposed to happen. So it's anybody's guess right now as to what is going to happen with this, and it's a major issue. But ultimately, you know, managed care is ultimately the wave of the future in, publicly funded and private programs. And the key, as I've said before, is that we make managed care work for us rather than against us. So, okay, I want to briefly talk about a couple of other bills before I entertain questions. SB 1298. This was a bill that passed and was signed by the governor that allows testing of autonomous vehicles, which essentially are vehicles that do not require, that can be operated without an actual driver operating them. The bill went through a lot of changes as it went along. I'm not going to attempt to get into the details, but one of the things that did finally come out of the bill is that except when it's being operated by an employee or agent of a autonomous technology manufacturer, the only way that it can be tested on the public highways is after an application is filed with the Department of Motor Vehicles. A number of conditions are met, including some by the manufacturer. And not only that, but there's going to have to be regulations adopted by DMV before these applications are going to be filed. So this is good for a number of reasons. Number one, it will give us a chance, Steve Mendelson and others, it will give us a chance when these public hearings occur to make our voices heard in terms of our concerns. Number two, and this is something that I really hope happens, hopefully by the time these regulations are adopted, since one of the conditions is meeting federal requirements, hopefully the feds will have, and Mitch, you have to get on this, the feds will have come down with our pedestrian act requirements in terms of hybrid cars, so that any of the fleet that are hybrid in nature have to meet those requirements. So, you know, one can hope. We'll see. SB 1186 was another very major bill. It dealt with physical access. It was basically a bill that had twin goals of the first goal was really to attempt to solve the issue of the very few attorneys out there who are basically preying on small businesses. And the second goal was to try and further access for persons with disabilities. There were a lot of provisions aimed at doing both. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of details. There were some things that we didn't like, but there were many things that we did. And so, you know, we'll see what the future holds with this bill, and we'll see if it indeed does help in either one of these goals. What we've been doing, one of the recent things that we've been working on, that President Pomerantz has been working on with others of us, is that the Secretary of State's registration system on their website, voter registration, is not fully accessible, and we've been doing some work to try and work with the Secretary of State in an effort to ensure its full access. So that's sort of an ongoing. There's not a whole lot to say about it, but I think it's important that you know that we are in there working on many of these issues. The Social Security COLA, I'm sure many of you already know this. Next year's Social Security increase is a whopping 1.7% or something like that, which somehow doesn't seem quite enough when you consider all the problems that, you know, we're having in terms of prices, but that's what it is, and they have a formula that they go by. There's a number of issues that I could bring up, but I think in terms, in because of time and because I want to have some questions, if necessary, if there are any, I will sort of leave them. I would like to say, though, that we're almost certain to have a Capitol Day next spring, and I hope that you will be able to participate in that, to make our voices heard in Sacramento, because believe me, they are heard. But however you can help during the year to come on the issues that are in front of us, whether it's helping us when we identify an issue for you, or whether it's identifying an issue for us that we need to pursue, you are really the way that we get things done, and I want to please ask you to do your utmost for what I believe to be the main purpose of this organization, and that is our advocacy. So thank you very much, and if there's any questions, if Gene, if there's time, happy to answer them.
Yes.
Okay, Jeff, I was wondering, will the 1.7% Social Security increase, will that be received by SSI recipients in California, or will there be a commensurate reduction in the SSP payment as there has been the last few years?
I don't believe there will be this year. They can always do something, you know, in the session, but as far as I know, there will not be this year.
Hello, Jeff. It's Warren. First of all, I want to say it may be possible that I'll be coming up to Sacramento more than I was expecting, so I hope to run into you there.
Great.
I want to say first, I do have some concerns with 1186. I also have some concerns with the Coordinated Care Initiative, but I want to say that because we're in a really difficult time right now, and we don't know what's going to happen, and we may know more next Tuesday, but I really think that there's a lot up in the air in terms of the larger policy issues. We're seeing transportation being cut left and right. We're seeing IHSS being cut. We're seeing Medi-Cal being cut. Things aren't being covered. And my feeling is that these larger policy questions of healthcare and IHSS, Medi-Cal, even housing and transportation, I really hope that we also watch those issues, because those are the issues I work on most. And I know that there's a lot of folks that care a lot about some of the things that were talked about. But these larger issues, I think, we could really see, especially if things go the wrong way at the federal level, we could really see some difficult times ahead for the larger questions out there.
Yeah, Warren, let me just speak to that, and I concur with every word you said. One of the things that Donna said to me was, when she first got into office, she said, you know, we need a bigger presence and in Sacramento, and we need to be doing more. And so we have done that. We have gotten involved much more in various groups that have been working on different initiatives and different issues. We've gotten very involved, and I'll just give you one example. We have submitted written testimony, and in some instances oral testimony, on a number of issues. For example, we have been very strenuously working at both a state and federal level to ensure that people who become involved in the future, as well as those that are already involved in Medi-Cal managed care, get their materials in alternative formats. And we've made this known all the way through to the U.S. Department of Justice. So there, Warren, I could have spoken about so many of these issues. You're absolutely right, and we certainly aren't going to ignore them.
Got one more.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah. Hi. Is this? There we go. This is Doug Martin from San Diego. Jeff, I'm wondering if, I believe it's Proposition 37, the one with respect to labeling of food items. Are there any accessibility issues that will are either built into or would be affected either positively or negatively by passage or failure of that proposition?
No. I mean, food labeling is food labeling. And that proposition, whether it is passed or not, won't really impact us in terms of our accessibility to food labeling.
Thank you.
I don't see any other hands.
Any other questions?
Are we done?
Okay.
Pardon?
Are there any other questions? No?
Huh. Did I finish too quickly?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.